Joe Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and welcome to our show, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We're here every night, and we're also online at philhenryshow.com. We do a pre-show on Phil TV in HD, so we have a video cast that starts at 9:15 Pacific, and it goes all the way to the end of our radio show if you want to join us there for some unedited, uncensored commentary on the news of the day as we collect and basically prep the show. You can watch us there and also get access to our archives. PhilHenryShow.com is where we're located over there. This week, we're giving away a hoodie, and it'll probably be tomorrow night. By the way, last evening I was at a function for National Terrorism Strike Force San Diego SUV. It's a show on Adult Swim. It's a hilarious comedy, and was with the cast yesterday, last night actually, which is why I wasn't able to join you guys, but you were with me, you know, in my heart. Anyway, and by the way, I had two Heinekens and I had a double shot of Don Julio, and guess what? Two Heinekens is 100 and, hold on, two Heinekens is 250 calories. I'll get it. Don't worry, I'm not going to bother you now. No, yeah, it's 292 calories, and a double shot of Don Julio is 192 calories. So I added all of that up, and I can actually, I have it within my calorie allowance to get drunk. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. There is a show on the military channel called Surviving the Cut. It's quite an impressive program because it shows you and I what it is our special forces, our special troops, these troops that are involved in programs like the SEALs. I call them programs. I mean, Delta Force, it's more than that. These are units that are very, very proficient and highly trained units that are sort of a cut above our rank and file fighting men and women. Among the different boot camps that they show you, one for this naval patrol boat or combat boat unit that they have. There's one for the airborne. There's one for the Air Force's medics. And there's one for Army sappers. In fact, there's only three badges that the U.S. Army gives out. One is for Special Forces. Another is for the Rangers. And another is for sappers. And R.C. Collins is joining us from Bradley Military Academy tonight. R.C.'s a junior cadet, to talk to us a little bit about that. It's a part of the Army that you are very much interested in, right, R.C.?
Yes, sir.
Tell me about that.
Well, I've been, ever since I got to Bradley Military Academy, and I've been working toward, you know, as a lot of us do, working toward graduation and hopefully then enroll at West Point in officer training. But my ultimate goal in the Army is to be an Army sapper, and like you were saying, you do get a badge that goes on the left shoulder, and it's only one of the three that they do give out.
And what? Tell me what a sapper does, so people know.
Yes, sir. A sapper is basically a combat engineer. Army sappers, any kind of sapper really, they go in and they can either lay mines or they can detect mines and remove them. They can either, you know, wire or place explosives on bridges or on roads, or they can remove them. They may be involved a little bit in, you know, clearing the way for troops that are behind them, like in building bridges. But mostly what they're involved in is going in and removing any obstacle that a troop or the troops, what is behind them, are going to come up against.
And so sappers are not necessarily the guys that build the bridges that we see.
Well, not really, because they're more highly skilled combat soldiers. Their conditioning is really very top notch. And like, you know, if you've seen any of the sapper training, you know that there's Marines that can't even make it through Army sapper training, and that says a lot because Marines are pretty, you know, pretty conditioned and go through pretty high training and everything. So, you know.
So this, along with, so sappers, and Rangers and Special Forces, this is a higher level.
Yes, sir. It's more, well, I mean, it's not like Delta Force, which is really, you know, kind of like the SEAL Team 6, but it's pretty far up there, and I do want to get my sapper badge, mostly because my grandmother, who is a big influence on me, is getting a lot older, and I don't know how much longer she's going to be, you know, with us, and it would be something she'd be really proud of.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're talking to R.C. Collins here from Bradley Military Academy about sapper training or sapper school. Where is that?
Where is the sapper training take place?
Yeah.
I believe it's in Missouri. I don't know the actual installation, or, you know, the Army base that it's at, or the Army installation that it's at, but I think it's in Missouri. And, you know...
How long is it?
It's several weeks. It's very intense. There's a lot of training that goes in. You have to carry your own body weight a number of miles. You have to be able to make a long march in a certain amount of time. You got to be able to rappel face forward off of a high tower.
For rappelling face forward?
Yeah, it's if you got a fear of heights, it's pretty bad, and you have to do it with one hand, and then you have to go up a cliff base.
And the reason why you have to negotiate these heights as a sapper is why?
Well, I mean, it depends on where you're going in to for your operation. Also, if there's wounded, you got to learn to take them back with you, and you may have to be able to literally take your wounded back going down a mountain face like that. So you have to learn how to rappel down a mountain face with someone on your back. I mean, it's pretty intense. It's pretty interesting, and it's obviously why I got into the Army, because I want to... why I want to get in the Army, because I want to do something that's, you know, not just soldiering, but doing something more.
Right, we're talking to R.C. Collins here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we talk about sappers. When are you going to eventually be eligible, or when would you enter sapper training?
Well, I have, as I mentioned, my grandmother, who I love very much. I've got a little bit of a time limit on me personally, so I can't, because of the intensity of sapper school, and because I have a time limit in terms of my grandmother, who, you know, I mean, she may not live much longer. I am not, right now, what I want to do is work it through my father and through the Army, that I don't do the sapper training to the degree that they do it, because I've got a couple of priorities at work here that is going to make me ineligible for the sapper training. But to get the badge, that's going to be another... I'm hoping that while I'm at West Point, I'll be able to go into sapper training, so within 2 or 3 years.
And, well, wait. Are you saying that you don't want to do sapper training?
Well, I can't do sapper training. Not the sapper training that I just described to you?
Yeah.
I can't do that because of the priorities that I was telling you about. I've got a grandmother that is getting on in years. My father has a couple of businesses in Northern California that I'm probably going to have to, as he gets older, I'll probably have to assist him in running those. So in order to have that sapper badge on my shoulder, which I can show not only to my grandmother, but also to, you know, I mean, What I'm saying to you is I do want to go into the training.
Well, you're saying to me you don't want to do the sapper training.
No, I'm not saying that. I do want to do sapper training.
But you don't want to do it to the same extent that other cadets are?
It's not that I don't want to. It's that I don't have the time, and I don't have, and I really don't need to. There's a couple of reasons. I have been through some pretty intensive martial arts courses. I've been through a lot of really intensive physical training. I did a survivor school when I was in middle school, and you know, I'd like to say that I would do it, but it's not going to be possible. So,
let me ask you this. I'm going to play devil's advocate here, R.C. Why should the Army give you a sapper's badge? There's only three of them, when you haven't been through sapper school.
Because of of the intensity of my commitment to the military because my father has been a big part of the Bradley Military Academy story, because my father is also an Army veteran, and I, you know, am not really prepared to go into a lot of reasons, but you really need to understand how it works in the Army for me to, you know, for me to explain to you.
Well, you're telling me that your father's been a big part of the Bradley military story and that your dad's an Army veteran, and you haven't told me, other than the fact that you've been to some survival school, why you should get a badge. You know, why should the Army give you a sapper's badge?
The Army should give me a sapper's, if I could interrupt, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead.
The Army should give me a... I've got a grandmother who is going to be dead in a few years. I've got some priorities at work here that other guys don't have. If you put together the fact that my grandmother is not going to be here much longer and the fact that my father's a big part of the Bradley Military Academy story, and, you know, I mean, you really got to be able to get it here. And
well, what I'm not getting, if you could help me with this, is that you're telling me your dad's given a lot of money to Bradley Military Academy. Is that it?
No, sir, I'm not telling you that at all. I'm just simply saying that everybody's different. And in my case, I'm going to be a damn good sapper. I don't need to go through the, you know, training that they have for others as much as they need to go through it themselves, is all I'm saying.
All right. I want to talk more about being a sapper, RC, and I want to talk more about the Army sapper badge and all that stuff, but I also have to get into, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, if you're going to keep asking me questions about why I'm not going, I mean, it's going to be a broken record. You know?
Well, if you're telling me that you're not going to sapper school because, well, you have priorities, et cetera, there's got to be some answers you can provide, you know?
And I'm trying to give them to you, Mr. Henry, but you know, if you keep going down the same road, it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be kind of like a broke... You know, I'm going to sack up like the other guys, but the other guys are not me, and...
No, they're not you, but then you're not them.
Well, that's true, too.
All right, hang on, sir. R.C. Collins with us from Bradley Military Academy on the Army Sapper Program on becoming an Army Special, on becoming one of the elite soldiers in the U.S. Army, the Special Forces, the Rangers, and the Sappers. The proviso here is that he is not going to, or he doesn't feel he has to attend sapper training courses because of extenuating circumstances. 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. As we're talking about something kind of specific, we're talking about Army training here tonight, and we have a lot of soldiers that are around the world doing a lot of different jobs. We've got a Navy, we've got an Air Force, we have the Marines, we have a Coast Guard, and we have an Army. And the Army has its elite forces, one of which are Army sappers. These are Army engineers. Tell me, RC, you were giving me a little bit of background on sappers, okay? And I wanted you to give me a little bit more. These are guys who are, they are combat soldiers, correct?
Well, yes, sir. They wear a permanent badge above the unit patch on the left shoulder. And along with that sapper tab, there's also Special Forces and Rangers, like you were saying. But to wear a sapper tab, you've got to complete the sapper leader course called SLC. That's at the U.S. Army Engineer School in Fort Leonard Wood. That's what I was telling you about, Missouri. And that's a great honor to do that. For me, what I'd like to do is, the course is 28 days, you're asking, Mr. Henry. I want to do the 10-day course and get my sapper badge. So that, you know,
You want a special sapper course of 10 days.
That's correct, sir, and I know that you are probably, you know, I heard your comments where you're wondering why I get special treatment. It's not special treatment. It's simply because I think if you talk to my teachers here at Bradley, and they get with any of the Army people that would be my teachers or officers or non-coms, I think they'd be able to straighten them out and let them know that I'm the real deal. And I am psycho, and I am, you know, very much loyal to my country, and I would be a good soldier. So this idea of me going through 28 days with my grandmother, who, you know, I feel is entitled to see me with the sapper badge, and again, what Father did for Bradley.
All right. So what I'm hearing you say here,
I think it would be the right thing.
Well, what I'm hearing you say here is you've been through, you've got, you're a very, very dedicated soldier. 28, the 28-day course you should not take. You only want to take a 10-day course. Now, this is a really, really tough course. This is a course that is a physical as well as a mental challenge. I think they also have a survival aspect to this where you have to learn how to kill animals.
Well, yes, sir. That's the one area of the sapper course that I do not want to do because of the fact that I've raised rabbits my whole life, if that's what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, because you were telling me that isn't there one part of the course where you kill live rabbits?
Yes, sir, and I don't think that that's necessary for me because, as I said, I've raised live rabbits, and to kill one and to eat it as part of sapper training would not be something that I would be willing to be a part of. So to get my sapper badge without that is, you know, if we can do some kind of some sort of training that's outside of that, I would do that.
All right. Now, there's no indication yet that the Army or anybody is going to let you do a 10-day as opposed to a 28-day course.
Well, I mean, I don't. How can they turn me down? When they see that my grandmother, as I mentioned to you, sir, who had a lot to do with my early upbringing because my mother was an alcoholic, unfortunately, and before my father returned to my life, it was my grandmother.
I understand. I understand, son. I mean, I'm...
And, excuse me. And so, I want her to see me with the sapper badge, and I can't do the 28-day course like they want. It's very rigorous. There's a lot of it that is not necessary. I'm not going to go through all that training. It's almost impossible to do. You know,
well, guys do graduate from that course, don't they?
Yeah, but I mean, how many guys could graduate from that course that's that way? So the 10-day course will allow me to graduate and show my grandmother the sapper badge and show my father the sapper badge, too. And I'll still be psycho. And
what does that mean, psycho? So you're going to be gung-ho.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're going to be gung-ho, and you're going to be all committed to your Army training and to your Army, your commitment, your unit, your country, and all of that stuff. I understand that. But you don't. But not doing the 28-day course is it sounds to me almost impossible.
No, believe me, it's not. The Army will, they don't bend the rules a lot, but they will bend them for certain cases where they see that a soldier like myself has the background that I have and has the family connections. I mean,
well, okay, so this is what we get back to here, sir, and I don't want to belabor the point, but you've got some connections. Your father's got money.
Yeah, but that's got nothing. It's got nothing to do with me being rich or anything like that. It has to do with showing appreciation to a fellow Army guy and his son who wants to be a sapper. And I'll be a damn good one, I can assure you of that.
But you will not go through the 28-day course?
No, sir, I can't do the 28-day course. No, not at this time.
And you'll do a 10-day course?
I will accept a 10-day course, yes, sir.
Do you think the Army is actually going to let you even approach a sapper school with that kind of...
That's what my offer is to the Army right now, and I would expect that they would take it because of... I mean, they want to lose a soldier like me. I don't think so.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445's world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
Phil Henry.
Famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and on the line with us here is R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. And R.C., we're going to bring on with us as well General Galen Shaw. He's retired Army General, to talk with you about these, I don't want to call them notions, but your beliefs. General Shaw, you there?
Yes, Phil, I'm right here.
And R.C.?
Hi. Okay, R.C., Do you hear me, R.C.? This is General Shaw.
Yes, sir.
I was asked to speak to you by Mr. Henry concerning your beliefs in Sapper School.
Yes, sir.
And it was brought to my attention that you believe you don't have to go through Sapper training in order for you to become a Sapper engineer of the United States Army. Is that true?
Well, no, sir, not exactly. I wanted to do a...
You wanted to do some kind of an abbreviated course, is that correct?
Well, yes, sir, an abbreviated course that that I could take on account of my grandmother is going to die.
You say that is your grandmother imminently...
Well, your grandmother isn't going to die right now, is that it?
Well, I mean, you don't know.
Well, my understanding was from Mr. Henry that your grandmother was not ill now, but you are fearing her demise at some point.
What do you mean, her demise?
Her death. Do you fear her death soon?
Yes, sir. I feel that she will die before I get a Sapper badge. Pardon me.
You're afraid your grandmother will die before you get a Sapper badge?
Yes.
I don't know your family history. I can tell you that we can't really apply to give out badges.
Can you maybe spit it out, General? Because I'm burning daylight here.
Whoa! You're talking to a general. He may be retired.
Hold on, bro. I can handle this. What did you say to me?
I said, "Why don't you spit it out?" I mean, I'm burning daylight.
You're burning daylight? You're afraid of your grandmother dying. I'm a retired United States Army general. And I'm listening to you. How old is your grandmother?
She's over 80.
She's over 80. Is she a widow?
Yeah, my grandfather died a long time ago.
And is she in good health?
Well, right now she is, but she, like I said, in the next few years. What, are you interested in...
Am I interested in what? Go ahead. Now you spit it out.
Well, I mean, are you interested in do you want to see her?
Now, let me say something. I came on this program...
What kind of a question is that?
Hold on, Phil. I came on this program to talk to you about Sapper School. I didn't come on this program to get a date with your grandmother. But if you're telling me that your grandmother is unattached...
Yeah?
And you are telling me that?
Yes, sir.
And she is in good health?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Is she interested in going out?
Well, yeah, my grandmother, I mean, you know, she'll take a dare.
Well, what does that mean, she'll take a dare?
Hold on, General, hold on for a minute, okay?
Yes, Bill.
What are we doing here now? I thought we were going to talk about this kid wanting to go into Sapper School but not doing the 28-day course. He's only doing a 10-day course, and you were going to disabuse him of this notion, okay?
Which is exactly what I wanted to do, but we got sidetracked by this discussion of his grandmother. Now, I did not bring the grandmother up. He did. I did not bring the grandmother up. He did.
I mean, the only reason why I brought her up is on account of that she may die and I won't get a Sapper badge.
You want your Sapper badge, and you want your Sapper badge that badly. I suppose the Army can do
a few things. But, yeah, but I know what you're going to say. You basically want to make, you want me to square it with my grandmother that you guys hook up. You know, if I were standing there right now, I would kick you between your legs so hard that I understand that you lost a testicle to cancer. Yes, I did. I kicked the other one all the way up. Guess what? It hasn't dropped yet. Well, then I'd kick you so hard it dropped, and then I'd re-kick you. And
okay, this is a childish conversation here. So you want to go out with his grandmother. Is that it?
No, I did not say that, Bill. I simply said, and you sort of intimated it, sir, by saying that, you know, you're asking me, is she interested in me? Well, is she interested in me? She's been listening to the broadcast, and she's gave me that kind of so-so handshake. You're like, well, maybe. Oh, really? Is that right? Well, boy, let me tell you something, young man. I spent an awful lot of time...
Look, I'm not here. I don't want to listen to this, okay?
That's right.
I'm not going to listen to you trying to pick up his grandmother. This was a conversation about Sapper School, okay?
Listen, you got a call from a guy who wondered if Sapper School even existed. Isn't that right?
Yes, I did.
That was my brother. That's how stupid he is. And I'm having to keep that guy in my home with a roof over his head and three squares a day until he gets his act together. That's the kind of guy's just out of jail. All right? So I had to convince him Sapper School exists. Now I'm on the phone with a kid who only thinks it's a 10-week course. All I want is a date with the grandmother.
So that's what you want, huh?
Yes.
All right, R.C.
All right, okay. I'll put you on the phone with her after we go to a break. And remember, she's old. But for a half hour...
Wow. You better believe wow. I ain't gonna... No way, man, am I going to go through that. I'm not going to be facilitating. It sounded to me like some kind of a date, if you know what I mean. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. That's unbelievable. Getting back on the phone with us here, we have... let me get, first of all, cut off the line to Mr. Collins, because I don't want to listen to him setting up his grandmother, if you don't mind. On the line with us right now is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. He's going to talk to us here about the Mel Gibson tape. And this is a different story, folks. This has to do with Mel Gibson yelling on another tape, screaming and yelling, calling people names, you know, and going through the whole Mel Gibson meltdown. And I know we're a little bit early here, Doug.
That's okay. I mean, I wanted to comment on that kid. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I've done quite a bit of reporting on the military. And I can tell you right now, if that kid thinks he's going to get a Sapper badge after 10-week course, they're going to use that kid instead of rabbits and chickens. They're going to gut him and eat him in the wild. And that general... I can tell you right now, Phil, I don't believe for a second that guy is so hard up. He's trying to hook up with that kid's grandmother who's in her 80s. He's a retired Army general. I would like to think, as a taxpayer, that our retired generals could do better than that. And
okay, yeah, well, in whatever.
Well, don't blow it off. I mean, I'm a taxpayer. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist and a taxpayer. And for me, that's a three-pronged attack, if you will, on issues, Phil. Being a gay man and being a gay journalist and being a gay taxpayer gives me a...
Yeah, it gives you some kind of a special, some sort of a special power. You know,
what do you mean power?
Well, you're talking about gay eye and all that stuff. I don't want to get into that. I appreciate your opinion. I don't, you know...
No, I didn't say gay. You're talking about the night we talked about homo eye. No, that is not the same thing.
Well, whatever it makes you, whatever kind of special status you are accorded by being a gay taxpayer, God bless. What I want to talk about now is the Mel Gibson tape. Now, are we going to hear this?
I've got the tape, but I've got to get it edited, so I'm not going to have that for a few minutes, Phil. But what I will tell you is this, and then you can hear it. Mel Gibson is heard on this tape screaming at the top of his lungs with absolute wild abandon. He sounds as if he needs a psychiatrist. I don't think anybody in the world would doubt that once you've heard this man. And you've heard his the kind of temper that he's got. He's got a bad one. So this guy decides that he's going to rip into Joe Esterhaus because Joe Esterhaus, as well as I don't know who else is in the room, is pissing him off for some reason. I think Joe Esterhaus pointed out to him
that was a beautiful picture he was looking at with his daughter, and Mel Gibson reacted by saying that he looked old.
And who looked old?
Well, Mel Gibson was talking about himself. He said, I look old, and that's what that bitch, excuse my language, but that's what he was talking about, Oksana Grigoreva.
Right.
That's what that bitch has done to me. And that's when he went into this crazy, raving rant and was talking about what she did and how much money she's costing. He was running around the house. He was screaming at the top of his lungs. It was incredible. Just incredible. And so that's what was on the tape.
All right. So I want to talk about that when we maybe get back from the break. I know we got Margaret Gray who's going to come on with us and talk about that as well. As far as Army Sapper School goes, good luck, R.C.
Well, I think that kid, but that general, sounds like he's got dementia or something. You know.
All right. Well, look, hang on the line. Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. That if you hear that Mel Gibson tape, and we will play it for you. It's just another one of these Gibson moments where he's going crazy, but in this particular tape, he's not on the telephone. He's wandering through his house in Costa Rica at the top of his lungs, screaming about this, that, and something else. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. Here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. So at the top of the hour, we have, we're going to have, no Doug Danger, and I think Margaret Gray is going to join us at the top of the hour on this Mel Gibson tape. A lot of entertainment news, and of course, the biggest story is the passing of Dick Clark. Dick Clark, who was 82 years of age, and he passed on Wednesday night. Actually, he passed on this afternoon, excuse me, at the age of 82 here in Los Angeles. The first story that broke on the death of Dick Clark was sometime midday, I think. His identity as the world's oldest teenager became a little bit strained in recent years, according to this story for the Associated Press, as time and infirmity caught up with his enduring boyishness. But he owned New Year's Eve after four decades hosting his annual telecast on ABC from Times Square. And as a producer and as an entertainment entrepreneur, he was a media titan. His Dick Clark Productions supplied movies, game shows, beauty contests, and more to television and elsewhere. And for a time in the 80s, he had programs on all three networks. He said that he was stopped by people sometimes on the street, and they would say, hey, I really like your show, and he wouldn't know which one they were talking about. I mean, that's a guy that's got, obviously, really successful television producer. One of his later projects was a thing called American Dream. It served as a fitting weekly tribute to Clark's impact. Airing from 2002 to 2005, it was an NBC drama centered on a Philadelphia family in the early 60s, and in particular on 15-year-old Meg, who, through a quirk of fate, found her way onto the set of Dick Clark's teen dance show, American Bandstand. The nostalgic American Dreams depicted a musical revolution which Clark so reassuringly helped usher in against the backdrop of a nation in turmoil. While never a hit, the series was embraced by older viewers as a warm souvenir of the era that spawned Clark and as an affectionate history for their children and for their grandchildren. President Barack Obama noted the nostalgia. More important than his groundbreaking achievements was the way he made us feel, as young and vibrant and optimistic as he was, said the president in a statement. On the line with me is Emery Clayton, Professor Clayton, a professor of urban studies at L.A. Canyon College. And we wanted to get him on the phone just to get his perspective on the passing of Dick Clark and the, you know, I would say just not only the passing of Dick Clark, Professor Clayton, but the life of Dick Clark.
Well, I would say, first of all, let me say that I join with all Americans in noting the passing of this man, Dick Clark, who was a entrepreneur, as you pointed out, Bill. He was a great producer on television. He had a impact, as you say, across all, it would seem, all age groups. He was also a man that had a physical ability, I guess you'd say. He had maybe he had good genes. Everyone's talked about how young he looked.
He did.
He looked very young, and that's what I called him, the perennial teenager. I thought Dick Clark was a good man, and I thought Dick Clark was a very special man. But there's another man that I think got lost in the shuffle, and I think that we need to make note of this. His initials were DC, too, and I'm sure you know who I'm talking about.
Don Cornelius.
I'm talking about Don Cornelius. Don Cornelius had a program called Soul Train, and Soul Train was on television for a great many years. Soul Train, in many ways, predated American Bandstand in its influence. And
Soul Train predated American Bandstand?
Soul Train was, yes. Soul Train was a show. Now, I know American Bandstand was on television in the 1960s. In the 1950s, though, American Bandstand was a local Philadelphia program. Now, Don Cornelius had the idea for Soul Train long before Dick Clark had the idea for American Bandstand. And yet, because of his color, he was not allowed to have this program on TV.
Really?
Absolutely.
I didn't know that. How many years back are we going?
Well, I told you that American Bandstand was on local television. And so American Bandstand didn't really become the idea. I think the idea that Don Cornelius had the idea for Soul Train before American Bandstand went national.
All right, so in other words, Soul Train was an idea when American Bandstand was on the air.
No, when American Bandstand was a local show, not a national show. So that's why I say Don Cornelius' Soul Train predates American Bandstand, and yet I don't see President Obama making a statement about Don Cornelius, do you?
I think he did. I don't know. Maybe I can get Bud or Dan back at the studio. I think...
Well, you think you don't know.
I don't know. No.
All right, so we don't know if President Obama made a statement about Don Cornelius. We don't know if that was in the office, that was forthcoming. You see what I'm saying? So, and I just saw a story here. The CEO of Walt Disney Company, Robert Iger, just made a statement about Dick Clark passing, and yet Don Cornelius, a proud black man who produced a great television program, Soul Train, I didn't see the outpouring of respect for Don Cornelius when he died. And I think that it's time that we mention that. And
well, do you think that it's right to mention it on the occasion of the passing of Dick Clark?
I don't see why it should. I think what this does is it reminds us that we have done a grave disservice. I think Dick Clark would agree that we have done a grave disservice to Don Cornelius by not mentioning more the contribution that he made to entertainment, to television, to music, and so forth. So I think on this day where we find out that Dick Clark has passed, Dick Clark, who, had the good fortune, obviously, to have the skin color that he had. I'm not saying that the man is not entitled to the respect that he's got, but he did have the good fortune of being white.
Well, I mean, you kind of, when you say that, you're putting a little bit of a shroud over his achievements.
No, I don't think I am. I'm just saying. Is it lucky to be white or not? I mean, you tell me. I'm just saying. He had the good fortune.
But why even bring that up? You know,
why bring it up? Because Don Cornelius did every bit as much and more as Dick Clark, and I didn't see President Obama making any statements about that. Now, to me, that's a very glaring difference between the two men. Look, I'm not saying American Bandstand was a bad show. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying Soul Train was a better show.
Soul Train was a different show, you know?
No, it was a better show. Personally speaking, I like the music on Soul Train better than on American Bandstand. What about you?
That's a different... How can you ask me that question, you know?
I'm asking you, which music did you like better, Soul Train or American Bandstand?
It depended on the show, I guess. It depended on what was... both of those shows...
Don't pussyfoot around.
I'm not pussyfooting.
Which show had better music, American Bandstand or Soul Train? I'll tell you why, and you think I'm going to be very, very petty here. I'm not being petty at all. But there are so many jokes that are made, even to this day, about a very unfortunate decision that Don Cornelius made, which was the audio ID for Soul Train. It went where's Jeffrey? Have Jeffrey come in, because he does this very well. One of my student assistants, Jeffrey, can do the... Jeffrey, you know the beginning of Soul Train. Do it, will you? Do it. Yeah, do you hear that?
Yeah.
That's what Don Cornelius selected, and I think that was unfortunate. Okay, I'm done with it, all right? I'm done with it. I'm finished with it. It's done. Through. I'm done with that mess. I'm done with that mess.
Okay, so Don Cornelius greenlit that, and that's what ruined Soul Train.
I think so, yes.
All right, Professor, thank you.
Well, I've got a lot more to say about this, Phil.
Well, I don't have the time for it. We've got Mel Gibson and his travails coming up next hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Good Lord.
I'm through with it, you understand?
Phil Hendry.